you know, you got that, you know, we Burks, you know. You got somebody to tell you, we don't do that. We discipline ourselves accordingly because we are his what? Disciples. That's what it means. We have a certain way that we act and do things we say and do. We got a certain way that brings him glory. And because we produce much, we don't act like we ain't got no fruit. I'm fruitful. I'm fruitful whether you see it or not. I got it. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, yeah, I got it. I'm fruitful because of God. I'm fruitful because of the God factor. When Abraham didn't have nothing and God said, Abraham, let me change your name from Abram to Abraham. What he did was he included himself in Abraham's life. And the I am, that is God including himself in Abraham's life. And so Abraham had God in his life. And the God factor changed who he was, who was a fatherless man, to the man that was a father of multitudes. I wish I had somebody in here. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And that was God putting himself in her life. And he changed her from being a barren 95-year-old woman to a woman who gave birth to Isaac, the promised seed who was promised to bring forth Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness in this house? Do you see what God can do? God does not look at your inabilities or your lack. He looks at the fact that he can use you, and he takes you and he uses you for his glory. He makes you fruitful for his glory.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, standing strong in the midst of a storm. Standing strong in the midst of a storm. My brothers and sisters, Jesus here shares with us this illustration of two men, one wise and one foolish. And Jesus describes the end of each man after he has been tested with the storms of life. And even though this illustration is designed to show us emphatically that the Lord is saying, those who hear his word and doeth it are blessed, and those who hear his word and do not do his word are cursed. It also shows us that this reality is a fact of life. That if we do not prepare our lives for impending storms, it can be the difference between surviving and being destroyed. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that I like about Jesus as he's ending his what commentators have called Sermon on the Mount, when in fact it's the Lesson on the Mount, because Matthew chapter 5 verse 2 says, when he went up into the mountain and when he was set, he opened up his mouth saying. And so I need you to see that from verse 3 of Matthew 5 all the way to verse 29 of chapter 7 were the words of Jesus. Now, when I was young, my mother bought me a red letter edition Bible. And I was amazed that as I turned page and page and page from chapter 5 all the way through 7, Jesus had spoken all of these words as they were highlighted in red, letting those who didn't know Jesus, hadn't learned the word of God yet, that this was Jesus speaking. It gave weight to the word to those of us who were new and beginning to understand the word. And one of the things that I want you to see is the fact that Jesus begins this, or ends this teaching on the mount by saying, therefore. Now, when he talks about therefore explains what it's there for. In other words, you go back to Matthew 5 and 3 and walk all the way. Don't stop till you get back to verse 24 where it says, therefore. And those were the things Jesus was talking about when he said, if you hear my words and doeth them, my sayings, doeth them. Saying, he was speaking of the word logos. He says it's important for us to grasp this. What was he talking about? Again, all of those pertinent points from the Beatitudes, and as he walked in to the 13th verse of the 5th chapter, talked about we are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt savors, it seasons, it flavors. It helps us to understand that it adds something that's missing to life. When you got a believer and a believer knows who he or she is, no matter what the situation is, when they show up, they add flavor to the situation. And that has a positive connotation connected. In other words, when they show up, whatever is wrong begins to become right because they had something flavorful to the situation or to the conversation. And then salt not only adds flavor, but salt preserves. Preserves. Those of you remember back in the day before they had refrigerators and ice boxes. I was talking to some young folk, and I said, yeah, we get that. We put that in the ice box. They said, ice box? It's an ice box. Yeah, but the old folk knew what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the ice box. But before they had all of the modern conveniences, they would kill a hog. And folk back then knew how to share, give the neighbor a piece of this and another neighbor a piece of that. And in the community, looked like everybody got a little piece of that hog that was butchered. But then when they would take
you know, the ham and other parts of it, and they would pack it with salt. They put it in the smokehouse, and for months they'd hang it up. And then in 6 months, 7 months, they'd go and pull down a ham and cut it, and it would just be preserved and as fresh and as wonderful as the day it was killed, no spoilage or anything, because they packed it with salt, and salt is a preserver. Now, if the Lord says you are salt, here's what I want you to know. It could mean that because you are salt, the very reason your job is still open is because you work there. Because your neighborhood is still considered safe to live in could be because you live there. The reason your church can still function and flow is because you're a member there. You're the salt, you're preserved. Y'all not hearing me here today. And certain things that you're involved with is preserved because of you. He goes on, he teaches them how to pray in the 6th chapter of Matthew. When ye pray. Notice he don't say if you pray. Because somebody say if you live long enough, you're going to pray. Something, some way, somehow will cause you to pray. You're going to fall on your knees sooner or later and call him up and tell him what you want. But listen at this. Listen. He teaches us not to be selfish because somebody else is in need of prayer. Say, our Father. Our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, one of the things that I want you to see is that when we learn how to be our brother's keeper and learn how to pray for others and learn how to stand in the gap and intercede for others, God blesses our lives and ministers to us. And that's what he wants us to be able to do instead of always wanting to be me, myself, and I. It's God's desire that we learn how to pray one for another. But let me back up just for a moment. He said, when you pray, go into your secret closet. Your secret closet. In the Greek, the word closet means bedchambers. Bedchambers. So here's what Jesus is saying. When you pray, invite me in your private place where everybody else can't come. You know, folk come to your house, you let them come in the, you know, living room, come in the den, come in the kitchen, come in the dining room, you know, come out on the patio, use the bathroom. But when it comes to your bedroom, it's off limits. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Amen. And so he's saying, when you pray, invite me in the private chambers of your heart. I want to be in that personal, intimate place where not everybody else is. For a private, intimate, one-on-one conversation. He didn't want everybody to be in our conversation. He wanted it to be one-on-one. And you walk on through that, and there's so many lessons. Get to the 7th chapter. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. And the reason why he says this is because the same judgment you use on others, God will use on you. Now you think about that. Think about that. You know, if you look at a real judge, I ain't talking about nobody looking about the people. I'm talking about a real judge who goes to school and prepares and learns the law and do all that is necessary to become a judge. In a court situation, he has the, you know, defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney. Then they have the evidence laid out before us. He hears all of that. Then he goes back in his chamber. And he ponders all of this. And he comes back out. And then he renders his decision. He goes through all the information before making the judgment. But church folk, they don't have to know you. They don't have to have no information to make a judgment call like they were standing there with a flashlight. Jesus said, be careful how you judge others. Because the way that you judge them, I'm going to take that same measuring tool and judge you. So when you judge folk critically and hard and without compassion and without kindness and without mercy, that's how I'm going to judge you, because you have set the precedence. Now you think about that the next time you bring judgment on somebody. God's going to judge me the same way I'm judging this brother. God's going to judge me the same way I'm judging this sister. Do I know the facts? And if I do know the facts, am I being compassionate? Am I prayerful that God will strengthen them, revive them, bless them, help them, or am I praying that God would take them out? The same way I judge them, God's going to judge me. Now listen at this. Then he moves on and he talks about pretending practitioners. You know what pretending practitioners are, don't you? Pretending practitioners are false prophets, false teachers. People who are not studious in the word, who are not truthful in the word, who do not rightfully divide the word. But yet they lead many people astray, because many folk don't do like Paul told Timothy, and that was to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he gets to that verse 24. Therefore, took me a minute to get here, but I wanted to help you understand what I was talking about. Whosoever heareth, let it go down in till it soaks into the spirit man. Heareth, a continual operation of hearing, not just listening, heareth. My sayings. Jesus is saying, if you don't hear anybody else, you ought to hear me. And we're so busy listening to everybody else and taking information and all of this from everybody else. Jesus say, listen at my sayings. But he also says this, and doeth them. You see, the word from the Old Testament to the New Testament is filled with the admonition of hearing, learning, and doing. Hearing, learning, and doing. Hearing, learning, and doing. Why is that so important? Because just to hear the word and even learn the word and not do the word does not profit you anything. God doesn't get the glory and you don't get the good. So you've got to hear the word. You've got to learn it so that you don't just hear it one time and it leaves you. You've got to meditate upon the word so that you are constantly hearing it in your spirit, man. And the Lord, through his spirit, begins to break that word down and give you more and more understanding about that word. So then you can begin to apply that word. Wisdom, listen, is knowing and doing the word of God. Wisdom is the principal thing, Solomon said. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all thy getting, get understanding. Because when you understand, it means that you know God wants you to do more than be hearers of the word. He wants you to be doers of the word. Paul said, I got a problem with some of y'all. Y'all are ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Something's wrong with that. You're there every time the doors open, Sunday school, Bible study, vacation Bible school, school. Just anything, any service we got, you there, you right there, you there. And live a hellish life, a life that would not see Jesus in it to save your soul. Never coming into the knowledge of who he is and who you are and what he expects from you as a disciple of his, a light in this dark world. I forgot to tell you, as he said, let ye a light, let your light so shine. Do you know a light does not have to tell anybody that he's a light?
Amen.
All a light has to do is shine. And somebody's gonna see, that's a light. And as a believer, you ought not have to go around bragging you're a member of this church, packing a big old Bible under your arm, wearing the cross hanging down to your feet and trying to act like you're somebody. All you got to do is live the life. And folk will know you are a Christian. So there, he tells this story, and I'm through. Two men. One wise, one foolish. He said the wise man is the one who hears the word and does the word. Jesus said, I liken him to a man who built his house on a rock. I like what Luke says in the 6th chapter in the 48th verse. He says, and dig deep to hit a rock. Why is this so important that Jesus is saying that this first man is digging so that he could put his house on a solid foundation on the rock? Why is this so important for us to understand? Well, first of all, Jesus wants us to understand that the rock, which represents him, is the only true foundation. There is no greater, there is no other foundation other than Jesus Christ. That's why he says, heareth my sayings. And if we believe anything else and anyone else, then we are not what we claim to be. Because he is true and all other men are liars. Here he was before the beginning of time. He called time into order. He knew everything from the beginning, the middle, and the end of time. There's nothing he does not know. All things were made by him. So he's letting you know it is he that we should base our faith, our hope, our desires, our dreams, our everything upon him. And there is no other foundation that is capable of supporting us enduring trouble. So then he says, this is what happened. He says, the rain descends, it falls. The floods came. The winds blew and beat up on that house. That literally means it wasn't no flash flood. This was a storm that beat upon every facet of that house. And listen at this. And when it got through beating up that house, the house stood. Then he goes to the man that built his house on sand. And he went and he did whatever he was going to do for a foundation, because Jesus literally said he had no foundation. He just set up and framed up and got everything together, because the foundation he did have was not sufficient to be called a foundation. And built his house up, and he was happy with it. But the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and blew his house down. And great was the fall of that house. What did that mean? It meant that man, no doubt, put everything he had in that house. His valuables were in that house. His family was in that house. His dreams and his desires were envisioned in that house. His children was raised in that house. He staked all of his earthly goods in that house without realizing that one day a storm was going to come. Into each life, some rain must fall. I don't care how saved you are, how sanctified you are, how holy you are, into each life. Because the storms test you. They test your foundation. They test your creation. They test your resolve. They test your faith. They test all that you are. And the Lord makes it clear that this happens to all. If you go back in the text, notice two men, two houses. They built it the same way. Each individual constructed their house the way they wanted to. They both had the choice to build their own house. Can I tell you, be careful how you build your house? Because you're going to have to live in it. Be careful how you build your house. This man who was foolish built it where he wanted to. He built it when he wanted it. And he built it how he wanted to. But he didn't build it with a storm coming in mind. The wise man, he kept digging, kept digging, kept digging, kept digging. While the foolish man was building up his house, he was still digging for the foundation. How many times have we looked at others? Look like they've gone on with their life, they're enjoying their life. Look like it happened so fast for them. They blessed, they're going on, and you still digging.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L